Tuesday, October 29th, was another strange day in this long period of unremitting tension and strain. It had begun, or at least I had tuned in on it, when Lyndon returned from Texas on Monday the 14th, and has followed since then a graph of soaring hopes and frustrating declines. Oddly, it did not surface in the papers for two or three days, I believe Thursday. And since then, the papers have speculated, probed, made it just as difficult as possible. Last night, when we went to bed, Lyndon left a call for 2 o'clock. Even for him, that is bizarre behavior. I said, "What is it, honey?" He said, "General Walt is coming in." At 2, the phone shrilled out, and Lyndon jumped up quick as a fireman and was in his clothes and downstairs to meet General Abrams. Apparently, there was a whole full-fledged meeting in the cabinet room, which went on for several hours. In the very early morning, Lyndon and Harry McPherson and Jim Jones and General Abrams came over to the second floor, and George Christian and Tom Johnson. I had given instructions the night before to put the general in 327. I still do not know if he had any rest, but for him, of course, it would only be 6 o'clock in the afternoon. At any rate, he had something to eat, I think. Lyndon went back to his office and stayed a while, came back over about 8, got into pajamas, and went to bed just as I got up. I asked few questions. It is better not to know. I met with Simone and Harry Middleton and Don Peterson on the July script for about an hour and a half. And then Joe France came over, and at long last, we had a look at the oral history project. He showed me a long list compiled from many sources of the people that they hoped to interview. They have done about 65 interviews, he said. I am concerned that no one interviewed yet have requested their tapes be closed for a period of years. I want them to be candid and thorough, whatever they say. We cannot plow this field twice, for lack of money, for lack of time, for lack of willingness of the person to be interviewed again. If they're going to add to historical knowledge, they must be good. Dr. France agreed that he thought it would be a good idea to have an arm's-length group of historians, very likely the review committee, which consists of Alan Nevins and James McGregor Burns, Louis Starr, Richard Chaloner, John Hope Franklin, Frank Vandiver, and Harry Ransom. Read several of these tapes within the next few weeks and see if we were doing a good job of them. Lucy called. Something exciting is happening to her. I had arranged for Madame Shumatoff to come down and do a watercolor of Lucy for Lyndon's Christmas present. She would do it in the blue room. We had decided on a dark blue evening dress with puff sleeves and white lace front. But Linda says makes her look like a sexy Puritan. She called that Madame Shumatoff would like to use 327 because of the light. A guest, I said no. We had a guest in there, or might have a guest in there, and he must not be disturbed. His presence is a tight-held secret in a house that is full of secrets these days. Over Lyndon's bed at 12 o'clock midnight, 6 a.m., there's a constant traffic of manila folders with a red tag and papers inside that say, "Eyes only, top secret." At noon, I went to Mr. Pears for a hairdo with a sack full of work, failing for once to have my swim beforehand, and then down to the blue room to greet an artist named Victor Lampke, who about 2 years ago had wanted to give a bust to the president, one that he had done of the president from pictures. Lyndon had written that he would be glad to accept it, and I had asked him to come for tea and bring the bust. He brought along 2 friends, Mr. and Mrs. K, and their small son, about 5, and there they were in the blue room, looking a little ill at ease, and the bust, which was heroic size, sitting on the table. I had Bob Knudsen. We did lots of pictures, and Mrs. K had brought her own camera, and the little boy raced round and round the room. I did my best to put us all at ease, took them in the green room, and we had tea and cookies and milk for that little boy, and I sent for a copy of The Living White House, work on a book on the president for the child, and we made conversation for about 15 minutes, and I explained the library where the bust would go, along with other works of art, mm-hmm. and then said goodbye to them and turned them over to a guide who was to show them the White House, and then briefly back upstairs, and then for my second tea of the afternoon, it was one of those days with four appointments in a row and coffee or tea offered with each. I can think of no better attribute for a first lady than to be an absolutely disciplined eater, which means to say no thank you often. My next appointment was none other than Mrs. John Will Patilla, Miss Clara, now for some years a widow, and for 15 years married to my Uncle John Will in Billingsley, Alabama, who had managed my Alabama property, my mother's first cousin he was, and a friend of hers who had brought her, Mrs. McCoach. And we spent nearly an hour of talking about Alabama kinfolks, Lucille and Nettie Mason and Elaine and Aunt Ellen, and very especially, of course, of Uncle John and days a good while gone. Back upstairs, I went to bed, for though I had not shared the work of the night, I had indeed shared the sleeplessness. Lyndon's bed was loaded with red-tagged folders that were top secret, and mine was loaded with pictures and books to be autographed for Christmas. Uh-huh. The height of an unfair division of labor, I worked for a while on them, no chance of real sleep, and then, close to 5:30, went over to Ernie Goldstein's office to attend the end of a meeting on exhibits for the LBJ Library. Secretary Cohen was there, an exhibits man from space, several people from the Smithsonian, someone I think from USIA. I gathered this group was meeting for the third time that they hoped to plan, maybe put together, one or more exhibits for the library on health or education bills, on space. I am drowning in a sense of time running out, of trying to grasp every moment and overtake so many elusive and fleeting goals. I had the feeling this was a good idea they were working on and great brains working on it, but that they simply could not get it done in the remaining 2.5 months. At any rate, at long last, we have finally got Lyndon interested and moving on the library. He sent for me. I went to join him in the cabinet room, and there were all the White House fellows assembled, cameras and press, and Walter Heumann, the president of the White House Fellows Association, was reading a report to the president that they had all put together, their suggestions of things that ought to be done. And then Lyndon answered it, and both of them could have been 100% better if they had not read a thing but had just gotten up and talked. That's the sort of meeting I want to have with the White House fellows. We have done it before, and I want so much to do it at least once more before we leave here. Just the 15 of them and their wives and us and maybe 3 or 4 staff. And then came a terrifically nice part of the program. They presented me with a Vermeer bamboo bowl, charmingly inscribed from the White House fellows. I was absolutely delighted. This I have meant to buy for myself as my going away present from the White House. And I made a response to the group that was not read and that I think encompassed them all in my delight. It was nice to get even a glimpse of John Gardner and John Macy. And then, still not knowing the burden of the day's decisions, in a sort of suspended in time and uncertainty feeling, I got in the limousine and drove out to the hospital for a visit with Linda, arriving about 6:30, to find her in high good spirits, on a sort of a wave of euphoria that was a delight to watch. Her room is full of roses, pink, red, white, yellow. She's had some darling letters and telegrams, about 350 yesterday. There was one that made tears come to her eyes, a sweet one from Ethel Kennedy. Her kindness stabs you anew with a sense of her own situation. But there were dear, cute, sweet things, and most especially from the public, people that she doesn't know at all, lots of service wives. I stayed about 2 hours, and then drove home. Fall is really coming. It is chilly, and the leaves are falling. Lyndon came over for dinner about 9:30 with Mary Rather. He is taking a bad cold. At least up to now, the press does not seem to know of General Abrams' presence, but he has already left to return.